Welcome to Foursquare Gospel Church, the Assembly of the Unlimited People. How to hear a life-transforming sermon, we hope you are blessed by it. Kindly subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay connected and click on the notification button to stay updated on our posts. Here comes the message of today. Remain blessed.
Oh, can you help me just greet your neighbor sitting next to you? Tell them you are welcome to church, that you are looking good this morning. You are looking awesome. You are looking charming. You are looking beautiful. Or like my sister would say, you are looking beautiful. You are looking spoofic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for this privilege to minister to God's people. I also want to thank our daddy in the Lord and our mom in the Lord for this great privilege giving me to preach to God's people. Not just me, but also the youth. You know, it's not to come every third Sunday to come and minister to God's people when you are not an ordained pastor or anything like that. It's a privilege. I really, really celebrate you. Celebrate you, sir. Celebrate you, man, for the privilege. And on behalf of the youth, say happy birthday to mommy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy. Thanks for being a blessing, man. Many, many more years and celebrations, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just before I go to the message, I just want to say something and I want to appeal to the youth. Please join our meetings. Hallelujah. Look at any youth beside you and say, please join our meetings. Any youth. If there are five parents around the youth or five elders around the youth, just look at them and say, join our meetings. You know, if by first square standard, once you are between the age of 20 to 35 years old, you are a youth. Hallelujah. You are a youth. And sometimes when we are calling for our meetings, I see some of the youths escaping or running away. And I'll meet them. I'll say, you're not coming for meeting. There was one that told me something that was shocking. He said, you pretend to share rice like women and men. I said, so we should be sharing rice in our meetings before you come for. So I said, we will look into that. At least we can be sharing small chops or something. It's something. Hallelujah. But I told him, I said, you can't compare us with women and men now. I said, when you are looking at men, you are talking, no, men, when they're having their meeting, they're always talking about money. You put this one there. You know, they have the money. Women too, they have the money. Youth too, we are getting there. We have the money too. So please come for the meeting. You will start eating rice. At least if you don't see rice, you will see small chops. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just be on our feet as we take this worship song? And it's a song that I love so much, just to worship God before we delve into our message for tonight. For you are glorious, so glorious. Can we just take a moment to just worship the King of Kings? Just worship the Lord of Lords. He is Yahweh. You know, He is more than what we can describe Him. Oh, Father, we just worship You.
One of my favorite names of God is when he calls himself, he says, I am that I am. There's no other way to describe him. He is just who he is. He is I am that I am. Father, we say thank you. Father, we worship you. For in Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. For in Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. We can please be seated majestically in God's presence. Hallelujah. Our theme for this month has been recovery and restoration. And the various speakers that have spoken before me have really dwelt much on the topic. Our daddy has spoken on this topic. The Transfiguration ministers have spoken on this topic. And I'm sure that we've been blessed. When I received the message for today, I was really excited about it. And I pray that we also will be excited about the message I'm about to preach. Hallelujah. My topic is a phrase. I don't know why these days, whenever I'm speaking somewhere, I'm always giving a phrase. And my topic goes like this. You can just write it down. Recovery, restoration, and empowerment by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Recovery, restoration, and empowerment by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The message I have for today is kind of like a Christocentric message. And before I go on, I just want to say something. Just start from the middle of my message before I go to the beginning and before I move to the end. For any society to thrive, for any kingdom to thrive, I believe there are three things that must be there. Order, the right systems, and strong institutions. Hallelujah. You know, when you talk of order, you're talking about laws in that society, laws that kingdom. If you want to see a society that exceedingly well, you will look at whether they have a good order, strong system, the right systems in place, and strong institutions. You know, one of the problems we are facing in Nigeria today is we are not a people of order. Or the kind of order we have today is chaotic order. Hallelujah. You know, when there was one day I was in a traffic light, I was driving, and I beat the traffic light. Hallelujah. Hope you don't call me a sinner. I beat the traffic light. And immediately I beat it, police came to stop me in front. And he says, oh boy, you've beaten the traffic light. Hallelujah. That shows what? Order. And that order, it's as a result of law that was in place. Hallelujah. And that law, breaking that law, comes with consequences. Please follow me. I know I'm talking legal stuff, but please follow me. So if there is a law and there is no consequence for that law, the law becomes useless. Abi? The law becomes useless. So there has to be a policeman that will stop me and say, look, you've broken the law. And there is no kingdom that can function without the right order or without the right laws in place. And so that is how God set up his kingdom. The God set up his kingdom, what? By following laws. By following what? By establishing laws, rather. And by establishing rules. And at the end of the day, consequences at the end if you break those laws. I hope we are understanding. For example, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. So if you break the law of sin, you will do what? You will die. And the essence of law and order is not for the authority, it's for ourselves. Hallelujah. For example, you are in a traffic light. Let me use traffic light scenario again. The reason why there is a traffic light is so that there won't be chaos and we'll have accidents with each other. So the law is meant to what? It's meant to guide and protect us. Hallelujah. So law is meant to what? Guide and protect us. So I said this one, that God set up his kingdom with laws, orders, and also what? Systems. Now let me move to the introductory part of my message. Like I said, my message is Christocentric. That's Christ-centered. And the topic is what? Recovery, restoration, and empowerment by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I just want to start this way. Someone accused me this morning that When you are preaching, you never open the, you don't open the Bible too much. Don't worry, we'll still open the Bible. But just follow me. Hallelujah. He said, I hope you open Bible today. So just follow me. When man, God created man for two major reasons that we can see in Genesis. He created man, what? To have dominion over his other creations. You can see it in Genesis chapter 1. He also created man, what? To also fellowship with him. Those are two of some of the reasons that God created man. So God created man for one, dominion. Number two, for companionship. God wanted to have companionship and fellowship with someone. And that fellowship was something that was continue forever and ever. That was God's plan. That fellowship with man, with Adam, with Adam and Eve. You know, the Bible says that God will come down, will talk with Adam, you know, discuss. That's the reason why God created us, for fellowship, for dominion. But there was something that happened. You know, the devil came and he took that communication man had with God by what? By causing man to sin. Hallelujah. By causing man to sin. And how did man sin? Man disobeyed a law that was established. And you know, like I said, once there is a law, there are consequences. The Bible says that when Adam disobeyed that law, the consequences followed Adam. So the relationship between God and man could not continue again, because God is not a God that can, it didn't continue as before. Hallelujah. So man was separated from God. God was still man in various ways, but that kind of pattern that Adam had, God could not, it could no more be in place. Hallelujah. But as we go through scriptures, we will see something. God was not happy with the separation of man from God, from himself. God was not happy. He wanted to return back man back to his original state. That is, back to his dominion state and back to fellowship with him. Hallelujah. So he set up a system in place. Hallelujah. He set up a system in place. You know, I was discussing with somebody and the person told me, he said, immediately Adam sinned, why did Jesus Christ die that moment? Hallelujah. Why didn't Jesus die that moment? Why didn't Jesus die that moment? And I told him, I said something. I said, there are systems in place. You know, God is a God of order and is a God of systems. God needed to establish covenant with people. He needed to establish a pattern so that the blood, Jesus Christ's lineage, will come to a particular pattern that is not as tainted as it would have been or it should have. So that is why he had to start with establishing covenant with Noah. Establish the covenant. He now moved to Abraham, called out Abraham from his father's house. Hallelujah. And established a pattern and gave him a promise. So God started the process of restoring us back to himself and making us to recover what we had lost. So what did he do with Abraham? He told Abraham, I promise you, I'll give you a what? I'll give you a seed. You get? So the promises for Abraham was established. It passed down to Isaac. It moved to Jacob and his entire family and moved down to the children of Israel. God had already started the plan to restore man back to himself, which we had lost in the Garden of Eden through Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope we're all following my story. And hope I'm not, hope it's not a boring story. Hallelujah. You know, I teach teenagers class. I know why you're teaching teenagers class. Any small thing like this, they can just get bored if your story is not interesting enough. But please just follow me and we'll get to the point where I'm getting to. So God brought about this, started establishing covenant with people. When it reached the children of Israel, God decided to introduce something. What did God decide to introduce? God decided to introduce laws. Hallelujah. God decided to introduce laws. And what does this law represent? What did this law represent? Let's open our first scripture here now. So that we read the essence of the old covenant. Hallelujah. Where did I put this?
Yes. So one moment. So let's open to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Sorry, it's not Romans. Oh. Okay, please, I'm very sorry. I can't find the scripture here in my notes. I wrote it somewhere there. But let me just continue my story. God decided to introduce laws to us. And these laws were to show us what? Our sinful nature. Hallelujah. These laws was to show us that man is sinful. It was, you know, man didn't understand why what he was doing. Man didn't understand that, look, if you do this, you will fall into this sin. So God had to introduce laws. So that's what we now call the Old Testament. So when Moses went to the mountain and brought out the Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments were part of the laws. So, but these laws now, God also began to show us some things in the Bible. God began to show us a glimpse of his plan of how he will restore man back to himself. How did he begin to do it? He began to tell us about Abraham and Isaac, how Isaac was supposed to be killed, which represents man. Because for the wages of sin is, no, Adam had sinned, and Adam was supposed to die. Not just Adam, Adam and his what? Descendants. So God began to show us a glimpse of how he was going to restore man back to himself. How did he do this? Isaac, that was supposed to be killed, God did what? God took Isaac away and brought what? A lamb. That lamb replaced Isaac. Hallelujah. He began to show us through Joseph, how Joseph saved the children of Israel and preserved the children of Israel. God began to show us glimpse. God also began to use the law to tell people of how they were to, of how he would save the people from their sins. How did they do this? In the old covenant, before you can have remission of sins in the old covenant, people will bring in bulls and cattle, and they will place their hand on those bulls and cattle, and the of whatever they've done will be transferred to that bull and will be transferred to that cattle. You know, and once they kill the cattle, there's a forgiveness of what? Of sins, because of what? The bulls, the rams, the goats that have been what? That have been shed. But if you look through that, this system could not continue. Like, it's good because year after year, these people will come and they are still what? And they are still coming to ask God for forgiveness of sin. And besides, again, this system, this covenant made people more sin conscious than God conscious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's made people more sin what? Sin conscious than God conscious. So God decided that, look, I'm going to settle this once and for all. And he showed us glimpses of this, like I said, from the Old Testament. And how did he decide to do this? He decided to do this by him coming himself. Hallelujah. You know, when you're watching Nollywood movies, and we did a lot when we were quite young, those days when we used to go and rent film. Now, Nollywood movies is not my thing again, but I remember those days when they say a whole village or community has sinned. What would they do? They will ask for blood, right? They will ask for either blood of cow, of goat, or of even a human being. Why? This is to show us how blood is powerful. How blood is very, very strong. How blood is powerful. So Jesus, God, so it's like a spiritual pattern that for everything that has to do with sin, it must be repaid by what? Death through blood. Hallelujah. So that is why in the old covenant, you see that people will put their hands on bulls and cattle. But this system was weak. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, let's open to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I
Let's read from verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshippers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. Hallelujah. So that system was imperfect. It couldn't return man back to God's original plan, which is to have what? Dominion, and which is also to have to be restored back to him. So what did God do? Like I said, God began to establish covenant and system that culminated, the plan of God culminated in one man, that is God himself, coming down through his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, to return us back to the original plan of God and make us recover all that we have lost. And how did he do this? You know, there was something like I said earlier, for the wages of sin is death. All man, as we are sinners, we are meant to die. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time I was driving, when I was 13 years old, my father was planning for something major at that time, and a friend of mine came to my house, our neighbor, and we just decided to carry my father's Honda. That time we were using a Honda car. I decided to go for a spin. Maybe youthful exuberance, you know. I wanted to start driving by that time, at the age of 13. But we thank God now I'm driving, I'm even tired. I don't want to be driving. I wish I have a driver, sir. But you know, so when we went, that 13 years old, the boy said he could drive. And it's a manual car, it's not automatic. We're coming back from Asokoro, and we hit a Murano Jeep. The Murano Jeep, as God will have it, the dealer was just going to deliver it to his owner. So that day, the man said, call your daddy right now. It's not you I want to talk to. Call your daddy now. I called my dad. I think that was the first time my father slapped me that I remember. I was given two slaps, both sides. I didn't even understand myself. Thank God for the experience. Now I can use it to preach. You know, so I'm trying to give us an image of what Jesus Christ did. Now, my father now, when he came, he saw the bash and he repaired for that scratch. Went to the mechanic who fixed the car. Now, but Jesus Christ, what he did, he didn't just repair for the repairs of the car. Jesus Christ did something. Imagine my father now coming to the dealer, and he's telling the dealer of the car. He said, look, I don't just want to repair this car. I want to buy this your car. Not just buy this your car, I want to buy your dealership. That is what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ didn't just pay for all our sins. Jesus Christ bought the price. Hallelujah. He bought the price. Hallelujah. So that is why when sin or death came, and you know, we had a debt to pay, for the wages of sin is what? Debt. Jesus Christ didn't just repay debt, he bought debt. Do you get what he did? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to give us an illustration of this thing. Then imagine my father now buying that Murano car and buying the dealership. Then he's not just giving me, he didn't just repair the Murano car. My father now says, take, this is your car. Now give me the Murano car and say, take, this is your car. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did. Hallelujah. And we were supposed to pay the price for the Murano car. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ didn't just repair it. He did something. He repaired the car, bought the Murano car, went to the dealership and bought everything. Let me show us a scripture that emphasizes what I'm saying. Let's first of all read Ephesians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. Colossians 2, 13 to 15 first. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. forgave all your sins, all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. Then let's go to Ephesians 2 verse 6. We'll join the two scriptures together. Ephesians 2 verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So when he bought, let me continue using my example. When he bought the dealership, he becomes the owner, right? The person that I bashed his car, the dealer. If my father buys that dealership, he becomes the owner. Hallelujah. Then my father now made me a part owner of the dealership company. You remember, I was the one that bashed the car. Hallelujah. But my father has bought it, has repaired it. He has bought the car and bought the dealership. He now makes me a joint owner. Now, that person that I bashed his car, can he come and meet me and say, I should repay again? I should repay for the car again? He can't. So when people say that Jesus Christ becomes your attorney or your advocate, more than that, I become my own advocate and attorney. Do you know why? Because now I have the right standing. I can tell the owner of that car that, look, I'm the owner of this dealership now. You are no more the owner. And that's how we are supposed to be to the devil. We've not just been repaired. We've not just been restored. We've now been empowered to live a life of victory over sin, death, and the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ, he spoiled principalities. Hallelujah. Not just I spoiled them. He disgraced them. Did rubbish with them. Then he now made us to sit with him. Hallelujah. So we are now seated with Christ. So the devil has no claim over us again. We were supposed to pay by debt. Hallelujah. Because we had sinned. But God did what? He did more than. If Jesus Christ had just died. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. If Jesus Christ had just died, he would have paid for sin. But it wouldn't have given us empowerment to have eternal life. Because death would have still been empowered. But now the Bible says of Jesus Christ, he has the keys of what? Of life and death. Because he has the keys of life and he has given us what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. So I now have eternal life in Christ because I am what? Joined with Christ. Hallelujah. My time will soon be up and I hope we are understanding. So now we've recovered what the enemy stole from us in the Garden of Eden. What Adam did that made him to sin against which we as his descendants were supposed to die. Because of, like I said, systems that were in place. We're supposed to die. But now Jesus Christ made us to recover. He restored us back to himself. And he empowered us to live a life above the enemy. So imagine you are in a court of law. As a lawyer, you know, when you are in a court of law, you always have maybe there is a criminal record against you. And the devil someone is accusing you. There's what we call the state prosecutor. The prosecutor is always the one accusing the then they call the defendant. Then there's an attorney that stands for either side. Now, when the devil comes to accuse you and say, look, you have something. You are a sinner. You are this. You are meant to die. Because you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you can now stand against the devil. You can now stand against the enemy and say to the devil, look, you have nothing against me. Someone has repaid my debt. Didn't just repay my debt. He bought debt. He bought sin. He bought hellfire. He gave me a partnership. So now I have rulership over principalities and powers. Hallelujah. I want us to have that mindset in us. Not just that again. The Bible also says, like I said, my father now, let me use the example. He didn't just buy that car. He went and he bought the old dealership. So what did he also buy? He bought sickness. Hallelujah. He bought poverty. He bought every other thing. So every other thing now, I now have dominion over them. Why? Because I've taken over the kingdom of the enemy. So now I can stand and say to the devil, look, I stand against you sickness. I stand against you death. I stand against you sin. I stand against the enemy. Why? Because the person with whom I'm in partnership with whom I'm a co-heir with, has those keys and he has given it to me. Hallelujah. The Bible says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemies. and nothing shall by any means hurt us. This is why we must treasure our relationship with Jesus. We must treasure our relationship with Jesus. Because if we don't treasure our relationship with Jesus, the enemy will come against us. Hallelujah. Like I always say, a good lawyer, and you know, Daddy too is also a lawyer now. You know, a good lawyer, whenever I'm discussing law with Daddy, I'm usually amazed at how Daddy is good, like reading the law and all of that. A good lawyer is not someone that, like we always say, a good lawyer is someone that knows where to find the law. If you don't read your Bible, you won't know who you are in Christ. The Bible is meant to show us what, who we are, especially the New Testament. If you read the New Testament, you will begin to picture yourself as who God, how God pictures you in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Once you begin to do that, so you begin to read your Bible, you begin to pray, you begin to study, you know who you are in Christ. The Old Testament will tell you what Jesus, what God, how God set up the plan to make you to recover and to make you to be restored. Then you also read the New Testament to know how you've been empowered to live a life above sin. Above sin, above death and above devil. And I pray that the Lord will help each and every one of us in Jesus' name. So I will encourage each and every one of us. Please, read and study your Bible. Study your Bible to know how you've been empowered by God. To know how God has recovered, has made you to recover all that has been lost. To make you recover that you now have dominion over this earth. To make you understand that you've been restored to fellowship with the King of Kings. And to make you understand that you've been empowered to live above the devil and his agents. And I pray the Lord to help us in Jesus' name. Let's stand up as we begin to worship the King of Kings. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, we give you all the honor. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do I have much time? I just want to do an altar call for any one of us here that is probably still living in sin. Like I said, laws have already been set in place, spiritual laws, and it's an order. This spiritual law is order. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. The only way you can stand against the devil and have dominion over the devil is if you come in partnership with God through Jesus Christ. So I just want to make an altar call to any one of us here. If you are here now, you've not known Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, please do come out. If you are someone here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please come out. There's no shame in that. Please come out. Hallelujah. 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 If there is none, then we'll just say, take this one prayer point. The Lord God, open my eyes to see who I am in scriptures. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's begin to say that prayer. The Lord God, open my eyes to begin to see myself in scriptures. In the name of Jesus. Open my eyes to begin to see myself in scriptures. Let me see how empowered I am. My identity in you. In the name of Jesus. Then let's begin to declare and declare over every force of darkness. You've been empowered to live above every difficult situation. Whatever the situation might be. Maybe some of us here, you are still struggling with sin. The nature of Christ is now in you. It's not your nature anymore. You are now in partnership with Christ. So you can live above sin. Begin to declare, I live above sin. I live above sickness, death, disease, poverty, lack. I live above those things in the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth and pray that prayer. I live above every force of limitation in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, the power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead now lives on your inside in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this and many more you will do, Lord.